Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jay Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call, you can text at 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We have a very, very busy show today. Lots of guests coming up. Looking forward to talking to Patrick Malooly. He is with the Soybean Marketing Board in Wisconsin, and they are looking into new technology that would produce a foam from soybeans that could replace the foam that is produced using PFAS.
Yes.
Which would be good.
It'd be amazing.
That would be great. So, yeah. Patrick is going to be joining us coming up at 10:33 next hour. As always, every other Thursday, we're joined by the Journal Sentinel's sports guru J.R. Radcliffe will be here, and then we'll wrap up the show with Brittany Merlot and a little weather and wine, talk about the forecast for the next couple of days and what else is going to be coming our way as we head into the weekend. Want to start, though, Vice President Kamala Harris is going to be joined by comedian D.L. Hughley. Mm-hmm. She's going to stop in Milwaukee today. She's going to be at Discovery World. There are reports this morning now she should be there about 12:40 this afternoon. It is part of what the White House is calling Harris's Economic Opportunity Tour, joining the Vice President, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski, Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley, and Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson. The Vice President expected to announce $40 million in awards to more than 165 counseling agencies to expand services. The money can be used to help home buyers improve their credit and provide other help in the home buying process. So the awards include $300,000 for Wisconsin.
Nice.
Bringing some cash.
And they're going to Discovery World.
They're going to Discovery World.
So fun.
This is historic. The Dow Jones has crossed $40,000 for the first time ever. 40,000. I mean.
40,000 points?
Not 40,000 points, but $40,000.
You hear that, folks?
Yeah. The Dow Jones crossing 40,000 for the first time in history.
I guess they were right. The economy.
Well, again, inflation is still high, but inflation in the U.S. is far better than compared to the rest of the globe. It actually is.
And the government has done things to help stave that off. We knew inflation was coming, and they took the necessary steps. We can't get rid of it completely, and that's a dream world to think we can. Especially coming out of a global pandemic and supply chain issues and price gouging from corporations.
Greedflation
and then shrinkflation in my bag of chips. And I'm not being funny. It's true. You see a lessening of product for more money.
Yep.
So, and the work that the government is doing to stave off the inflation, to help people, it's showing in the stock market that the economy is doing quite well. Job growth is through the roof. You know, it's as we've said before, the economy is great no matter what people tell you. The numbers do not lie. The experts do not lie because they have no reason to lie. And just because the economy isn't benefiting you in some way, that doesn't mean the economy is junk.
But that's, we all take it very personally, right?
Absolutely.
And it's based on how we feel.
Yeah.
And if you're still, getting two bags of groceries for $100, you don't feel like things are going very well. And I completely understand that.
Yes, I totally understand. Your feelings are based on your feels, but the facts aren't based on your feelings.
Right.
And the facts show the economy is growing. It's vibrant. There's still problems with inflation, but that happens. And the fact is, honestly, we got to move forward and just accept that instead of saying the economy sucks, because it doesn't. So. I want more from the economy. I'd love more money.
We'd all like more from the economy. I think we can all agree on it.
I don't want a yacht. I want a pontoon boat, Jane.
Start small.
Yeah.
You gotta start with a canoe, and then you'll work your way up to the yacht.
Are you telling me to pull myself up by my boat straps?
Oh!
Hey-oh!
Nice one.
Thank you.
Well done, Greg Bach. We're going to start off, though. I saw this. Dan Schaefer, our friend from the recombobulation area, put this on his Twitter feed yesterday. And it just makes me laugh. The Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, otherwise known as the legal arm for the Wisconsin Republican Party, two members of WILL, Will, wrote an opinion piece in yesterday's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and I think it's worth sharing. Headline reads, Central Count for Absentee Ballots Problematic. There's a Better Way, Milwaukee, from Lucas Weber and Will Flanders. Our organization's 2020 election study found most of the claims about election fraud were not proven.
Say it again. Was not proven.
Our group's election study in 2020 found most of the claims about election fraud were not proven.
I like it.
Though we did find abandonment of proper procedures by election administrators. So essentially, this opinion piece in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel is about where they should be counting the ballots. And this, so they, it's a central count.
Yeah.
Everything has to come into mm-hmm. the same place, and then that's where they count the ballots. They would like it to be handled at the local polling places
yes.
instead, which is an option, mm-hmm. apparently. But what I find so amusing about all of this is they're bemoaning some people's distrust of the election system. How did this happen? It's so terrible. People don't trust our elections. People don't think elections are fair. How did this happen? I don't know. Talk to you. Maybe get a mirror.
Yeah.
And look.
What?
It's mind-blowing to me. There are several reasons, again, in this opinion piece, Central Count is less efficient. All of the ballots have to be physically taken to one singular location, yes. In a city like Milwaukee that involves thousands of ballots, boxes of votes sometimes get misplaced and are discovered when the counting process is well underway or even after the process is completed. In the 2020 presidential election, nearly 400 uncounted votes were discovered only during the recount process, leading to renewed claims of fraud. This has happened. We know that boxes of ballots have been found. And if I remember correctly, sometimes they were in the Republicans' favor.
Yes.
When these boxes of ballots were later counted.
Because ballots hold votes on many parts of elections. Many candidates are on there. So if you think Joe Biden cheated and it should be thrown away, then all the people that you voted for get thrown away and we start again. It affects everyone.
Same ballot.
Same ballot.
Same ballot.
Same people.
Second, due to state law, election officials are only allowed to begin processing the ballots on election day itself. A bill that would improve this process was considered in the legislature last session and had bipartisan support. And what happened to this measure, Greg Buck?
It didn't get taken up.
The bill passed the assembly on a voice vote.
Yeah.
Held up and ultimately stopped by Devin Lemahieu and the Senate.
Who said, when asked if he was going to bring this up for a vote, said, it's not my job. It's not my job to bring these bills forward.
Isn't that his only job as the head of the Senate?
And waving a little hammer around, maybe. But yeah, he likes to walk away from responsibility and, I guess, questions, too, when it gets down to it. I mean, I guess what we need to do is we need to provide Senate Leader Lemahieu, respect.
Yes.
A job description of what is expected from that position in his job. And one of them would be, I'm going to say it's up there, probably like one, maybe two, bringing bills to this Wisconsin State Senate for a vote. ...
Yeah.
I don't.
We're talking about an opinion piece in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel from yesterday, written by two members of the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, bemoaning the fact that some people do not believe that our elections are free and fair. And I just laugh because they're the ones who encourage people to question whether our elections are free and fair.
Every time. And they just can't. God, it would just be amazing if they could say, all right, it was free and fair. We'll move on to the next one. We'll totally gripe and moan about 2024, but I guess we got to pack it up for 2020 and just say it was fine.
They want to switch away from the central count because it would help restore faith and trust in our elections. In recent election cycles, we witnessed a disturbing decline in belief that American elections are being run honestly. A poll in January of 2024 found 30% of Americans continue to question the legitimacy of the 2020 election. Well done, Wisconsin Institute of Law and Liberty. You did it. Yay.
Do you know what just hit me by people like Will and those other? They're saying things like, we're finding nothing wrong with it. And they're saying it as if it's a bad thing. They're not saying, oh,
what a relief.
We found, okay, Wisconsin is an example. We're good. Let's see in 2024. They're like, it was fair.
As shown in our own organization's 2020 election study, most of the claims about election fraud that we examined were not proven, though we did find abandonment of proper procedures by election administrators. With this background, it isn't hard to understand why people raise questions when election results change while they're sleeping. They have to count until all the ballots are counted. What is so confusing? We need to sit. Let's go visit them.
I just want to Roy Kent this and just rip this table up and just be like, what's wrong with you?
It's vital we do all we can to address legitimate issues that have been raised. Counting absentee ballots at the polling place will lead to election results being reported on in a timely manner and help restore trust in our elections. It's that simple.
Yeah.
And there you have it. It was free and fair, by the way.
Yeah. So, here, I'm going to make a call. Robin Voss, was it fair? Yes, it was. Thank you very much. He even thinks it's fair.
Speaking of.
What?
We're going to have a little update on Assembly Speaker Robin Voss.
Yeah.
Stay close. We'll be right back. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. She don't mean. Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sweet Cal B on the board. Coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call. You can text at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. We were talking about an opinion piece in yesterday's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel from two members of the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, what we like to call the legal arm of the Wisconsin Republican Party. And they have suggestions on how we can reassure people that our elections are fair. And I don't necessarily disagree with this suggestion,
yeah,
that they count the ballots at the polling places instead of moving them to a central count. But what I find so amusing about this is that they're the ones who have helped feed all of this paranoia about our elections not being free and fair. And now they're like, oh, yeah, our audit found that they were free and fair. Whoops.
And when it comes to counting at the polling places, that works really well for aldermanic districts, county supervisor, smaller stuff. Get those out of the way. But when you're dealing with like a mayoral race, governor's race, presidential, Congress or Senate, it should be at the center, at the central count. Central count. Because you have more staff available to take care of things. If you want to do all that at the polling place, that's fine. Then you must fund those polling places with staffing,
yes,
resources, technology, and experts and lawyers on the ground in those places to answer questions, recounts. That's still going to take a long time if there's problems, especially if it's a long ballot. But unfortunately, oh no, we passed two constitutional amendments this spring that said that only election officials are allowed to work on elections, yep, and we can't take more. We can't take more grant money.
No, grant money.
Yep. They called it Zuckerbucks, but what it really was grant money coming from various groups that we take all the time,
yes,
but not anymore. So we are in a pickle, and I'm directing that statement to the Wisconsin Institute of Law and Liberty.
All right, we're going to change our attention briefly to Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. We like to call him the Popcorn King.
Did it.
Nicely done, Kevin. Popcorn King Robin Voss in the crosshairs once again. Conservative group trying for the second time this year to oust Robin Voss from office. They have launched a $50,000 ad campaign encouraging residents of Voss's district to sign on to this recall effort. This is from Rich Creamer in today's WPR. They're just not quitting, which is so interesting to me. The Racine Recall Committee's latest ad accuses Robin Voss of protecting Wisconsin Elections Commission Administrator Megan Wolf from impeachment. And it also includes audio of him saying he would work to keep former President Trump from becoming the Republican nominee. Well, that was then. This is now. He's already said that he's going to support him, right?
Exactly. Yes.
Shocker.
Yeah.
Voss is bad for elections, bad for Wisconsin, and bad for America, says the ad. If you live in his district in Racine County, sign the new recall petition.
So this has to be, because this has to be the second recall effort.
Isn't this the third? No, I guess this is the second
I believe it's the second. Yeah. This, the second was launched while the first was still in front of the courts to be decided.
Right.
I'm going to say it again to everyone listening, and I'm hoping that anyone associated with this recall effort is listening as well. They aren't. I hope they're listening. Why don't you just wait a few months?
I know.
Find a candidate who you like or just tolerate and run them in the fall. Everything you're doing can be completely undone if it doesn't go your way. Let's say for a second they recall him right now, tomorrow.
Yep.
Do you think they're going to fill that immediately? No, they have to run a special election. That's going to take a few months. Then you're going to butt up right against
the November
election. Yeah. So guess what Robin Voss does? He runs again and most likely wins because he has more money, more influence, and your guy doesn't have enough time to make a claim and a statement for themselves. So just wait a little bit. This, and it makes you look so, so illegitimate. And the guy is supporting your guy.
I know, it's incredible.
And I said to you before the show today, this is a great example to all you, to anyone who's a MAGA listening right now. Robin Voss has said unequivocally he supports, endorses, and will be voting for Donald Trump. And he's still not good enough for the people running the recall, which to me says there's going to come a day where you are not Trump enough. You think you are. You've got the hat. You've got the stickers.
Yep.
You've got the rhetoric. You go on the websites, you've given money, but then they're going to change the goalposts. They're going to move that line down the field. And suddenly the hat, the merch, the unequivocal support won't be good enough because they'll want something else, whether it's more money, a signing of a loyalty statement. But there will come a day where you are not Trump enough. If it can happen to Robin Voss, who is about as conservative as they come in this state,
seriously,
it can happen to you. So really think about where your allegiance is. Is it to the Republican Party or is it to the guy who's currently sitting in a New York courtroom because he tried to fix funds to pay off an adult film star?
Robin Voss does have his defenders. The Wisconsinites for Liberty Fund is also running some ads, and it's calling the recall organizers radicals from out of state. Send those out of state creeps back where they came from. Read it, don't sign it.
I can't believe I'm about to say this. Good luck, Robin Voss. I don't know.
And this group also... to the people of Wisconsin and Racine County, if you want this bullying, these CCP tactics to continue, then don't sign the recall petition. They are accusing Robin Voss of being deeply aligned with the Chinese Communist Party.
Okay. Another question, Jimmy. Another question
yeah.
for you.
Yeah.
Isn't the former president, Donald Trump, isn't he like a fan of Xi Jinping?
Yeah, he thinks he's a very strong leader, I believe.
Okay. I'm just, so is it the fact that he likes him and thinks he's a strong leader and not deeply invested into the Chinese Communist Party? Like, it doesn't make sense anymore. The math isn't mathing. 2 + 2 is equaling armchair at this point, because Trump likes Xi Jinping. Okay, that's fine by you. But Robin Voss being deeply ensconced with the Chinese Communist Party
is bad. Well, again, Trump gets a pass for everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
He's sent by Jesus Christ on the ground. I don't know why I'm doing a Southern accent. My apologies to the liberal rednecks. But yeah, he's sent by God above. He can do no wrong.
He can do no wrong.
None. Like, I need to know what is the wrong. What can he do besides say, I'm going to vote for Joe Biden?
That would probably be the only thing.
Heads exploding all over the country.
All right. News is on the way next. And when we return, we're going to be talking about potential uses for soybeans.
Heck yeah.
Especially as we try to replace PFAS. Yeah. Should be a very interesting conversation. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Mock, Calvin, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join the conversation. You can call, you can text, same number, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream. If you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter, saw a really interesting article on WPR about whether or not soybean-based foam could help replace PFAS, because that's where they are used a lot, is in firefighting foam instead. And so the president of the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board is joining us on the phone. He is out in the field. Pat Mullally. Good morning, Pat. How are you doing? Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. We're doing well today.
So tell me about, you traveled to Georgia, correct, to talk to farmers and other firefighters about using soybeans to replace PFAS, correct?
Correct. Back in March, had the opportunity to go to Dalton, Georgia, where a company by the name of Cross Plane Solutions has invented a firefighting foam based out of soy flour, and they're brought that to market since then. And the firefighters down there were in need of it and very enthused about how it worked that day. We got to see a demonstration down there at a firehouse that did some practice stuff with the product.
So is this going to be something that's widespread, do you think, Pat?
They're, again, just came to market, but the firefighters that were there, and there were some rural ones, some from New York City, some from the Dakotas, Kansas, they felt, and I'm not an expert in firefighting, but they felt there is a huge need for it because a lot of these states have outlawed the PFAS products and they can't use them, only in airports at this time. So there's a huge need to get that replaced, those PFAS products replaced, and this seems to fit the bill. And what we saw of it, putting fires out at the test station there, it looked very promising.
So it's called soy foam, right?
Correct, yep.
And is it very expensive to produce, Pat?
I don't have a cost, and they were leaving that up to their distributors, but I think it would be priced very competitively. And the shelf life, they were testing that. That's kind of where the marketing board and the soybean checkoff dollars came into play, trying to find these new uses. We funded some projects through Chippewa Valley Technical College up by Eau Claire. They're still testing it to figure out shelf life and could it sit on a fire truck in the middle of winter and freeze and thaw and still be viable.
Mm-hmm.
There's some things that need to be discovered there, but from what we saw of it and what the firemen that were able to test it said, that it's a product that could be well-renowned here before too long.
Pat, you just you said about funding. You know, if you say Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board, it can sound like a very broad title. What is, you know, can you give us a little intro into what the marketing board does, specifically like job, like what you do in your job, as well as, you know, the funding you provide to other people throughout the state and work with other communities around the country?
Sure. So for every soybean, bushel of soybeans that's sold in the state of Wisconsin, 0.5% of that dollar value is pulled out for, it's called checkoff. We're all governed by USDA. But so those funds that the marketing board's in charge of, and the marketing board, to back up just a little bit, is a 7-man board. We're elected officials, 7 regions in the state of Wisconsin.
Patrick?
Patrick, are you there?
He is actually literally out in the field.
Yeah, exactly.
Because he called before he joined us live and said he wasn't going to be able to join us on the stream because he is literally, they're planting right now.
Yeah, they're planting at the moment. Oh, there you are.
Oh, Patrick, are you back?
Yep. Oh, sorry about that. Yeah, I'm back.
Welcome back.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know where I left off, but explaining that checkoff dollar, there's a 7-man board in the state that we're responsible for spending those funds that are collected through the checkoff.
And then using those funds to for projects such as the soy foam?
Correct, yeah.
Okay.
So we're looking into new uses, and a lot of our funds go to new uses or University of Wisconsin Extension for growers finding new practices that can be more sustainable in growing soybeans. So that's a big part of our budget, too, goes to the UW Wisconsin Extension program.
If you're just joining us, our guest is Pat Mullally. He is the president of the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board, and we're just talking about a new development that has come to light. It's called soy foam that is actually being used in some areas of the South where they're using soybean-produced foam to replace the foam that firefighters would usually use, because they contain PFAS.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole idea is to get rid of that and get that out of our environment. It's interesting too, Pat, because I mean soybeans are used in lots of different things that most people wouldn't necessarily think of, right?
Correct. So anywhere, polymers is a big one, but when we were in Georgia, also the backing for like AstroTurf and carpeting. There's soy foam in those plastics, a lot of uses that we're trying to find a place for our product as farmers to not just depend on foreign export, but find uses here within the United States that we can continue to grow.
Yeah, in this article, you're quoted as saying, so there's soy oil in Goodyear tires, Skechers shoes. They're using soy oil in polyurethane, again, in Dalton, Georgia, which is the headquarters for AstroTurf. So it's just a lot more prevalent, I think, than people yeah. realize. And it's obviously pretty versatile, too.
Correct. And again, on the soy foam, it's not a huge market to start, or as far as maybe 12 million bushel is what they're forecasting to use the first year. And again, it all adds up, right? And this is something that touches all walks of life. We all know someone that had a fire or a fireman that these PFAS products, you know, have affected
yep.
and can affect. So this is something that is good for all walks of life.
Well, and that's, you know, when I think of soybeans, I think of the food, I think of eating it. I mean, the expansion of the use of them as far as how does that... As those uses grow, how does that provide economic development for our farmers here in Wisconsin, which is, you know, we want to support our farmers as much as possible, using those fields to grow the soybeans to utilize for all those different products, whether they're edible or just, you know, fashionable, like with shoes.
Right. You know, and you mentioned the Goodyear rubber and the Skechers Swiss, so that's the soy oil and moving away from the petroleum-based products and or adding to them, really, in hand-in-hand. But also in the state of Wisconsin, we have some good things going on in the Port of Milwaukee, some new export markets going out of there, possibility of the state getting its first crush plant. So when we crush soybeans, we take the oil out. That can go for many different uses. The new one is the sustainable aviation fuel. So there's a lot of good things coming for soybean farmers in the state to have local markets versus a lot of our beans get exported right now today out of the state for a crush other places or maybe getting transported by rail to the West Coast to be put on ships to go to Asia. So that those markets will keep but also add to them to help the farmer's bottom line.
Well, and the it's interesting that, man, we're going to talk to the Port of Milwaukee because that has really geared up, it seems to me, Pat, in the last decade, that there's just a lot more activity at the Port of Milwaukee.
Yeah, so between the state of Wisconsin and the city of Milwaukee and federal funding there, too, I know there's a new facility over there that's exported some soybean meal last summer that went into European countries. It opens up that Western Africa, Morocco area for soybean meal. So that is something that we've invested some checkoff dollars into some feasibility studies and bringing some trade teams over to want to buy some soybeans or soybean meal out of that port. So it's opened up some new avenues for us.
I'm telling you, Pat, before we read the article and we reached out to the soybean marketing board, it's amazing how little I knew about this, period. And the fact that, you know, it's so widespread, so diverse in its use. And Wisconsin, I mean, the amount we produce, it's mind-blowing to me. And it's good that you're here to let people know about that, because I doubt a lot of people have an idea how pertinent soybeans are to this state.
It's a big part of our economy. And if you think back to the early 2000s or late 90s, the amount of soybean acres that were growing, I don't have exact numbers, but it's greatly increased the amount of soybeans that are growing in the last 20 years. And again, then trying to find a market for those beans and or the meal or the byproducts. Yeah. So worse. And again, from.
Oh, I think we just dropped. He just dropped again. Patrick, can you still hear us? I think we lost him. We'll keep him on. Maybe he'll come back.
Oh,
there you are.
We did it.
Patrick.
I'm so sorry. I'm out in the field.
No worries.
I understand.
No. The connection.
Yeah, no
worries. Not a problem. We just got about 3 minutes left anyway, Patrick. Patrick Mullally is our guest. He is the president of the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board. Patrick, where does Wisconsin rank, at least in the U.S., as far as soybean production goes? Are we in the top five?
No, not the top five. I think around 12 or 13, the last I knew. So in the Midwest-wise, we're obviously not the biggest, but still hold, I think it was 90, just over 100,000 acres last year. And again, in growing, there's more soybeans being grown every year in the state. It's something that in recent history is new to the state in a lot of areas.
You mentioned just before that 20 years ago, we weren't growing as much, and I could make guesses and assumptions, but I'm not an expert on it like you are. Can you tell us what steered Wisconsin towards ramping up that production of soybeans?
I would say that obviously some of the livestock left. I mean, the dairy farmers, the smaller ones, maybe went to cash grain and just diversified their acreage where there was more corn and alfalfa growing, and now there's just maybe guys that are a 50-50 rotation. Half their acres are into corn, half into soybeans. So the other part of that, too, is soybeans became more profitable as we went
in
that recent time.
Well, that's all good. I mean, that's all good news. And I think if we're 12th or 13th in the country, that's a very respectable place to be.
Yeah.
Yep, for sure. We're happy with that. And again, we have a strong UW Extension that helps us out, and we fund those projects to figure out how to grow them more sustainably with no-till practices and cover crops. So we're continuing to work on those things to take care of the land and the soil and water.
It has been so interesting, Patrick, and we're going to let you get back to work because you are literally out in the field right now. So thank you so much for carving out a little time to join us today. Patrick Mullally, the president of the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board, really appreciate your time, Patrick. Have a great day.
Thanks much, and have a great day yourself.
Thank you, Patrick.
Thanks a lot, Patrick. All right, stay with us. When we return, there's a special event tonight that's in Wausau.
Yeah.
And it is being highlighted by a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reporter that we've had on the show a number of times, and it's about guns and suicide. And we're going to recap that for you, and it's free. It's tonight. If you live in that area, that definitely may be something you want to check out. We have all the details on the way, so stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I did my best to stay real sweet, and God painted a sky that night that I won't never forget. Fall in love with you all over again, sitting in a soybean sunset.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Cal B on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call, you can text at 855-752-4842 or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Just want to remind you, if you ever want to email the show, if you have a guest suggestion, if you have a topic you would like us to cover, please let us know. You can email it to janesays@civicmedia.us. Jane says at civicmedia.us. And a reminder as well, you can always listen to the podcast. You can sign up to receive, subscribe.
You can subscribe to the podcast. Go to civicmedia.us. So hit the show tabs, the top of the page. You'll find our show, Matt Nair on Air, and you can subscribe to that show. You can download it there. But if you want to subscribe to it as a podcast, go to Apple Podcast. Go to Spotify, wherever you find your podcasts, look for our show, Matt Nair on Air. It's a little weird with the spelling, but it's Jane's last name, so you don't say anything.
That is the way it's spelled.
And subscribe to the show. And then you subscribe, and then your inbox with podcasts will get two episodes a day, because that's the entire show. That's the 2 hours we do here.
Yep.
And also, if we're doing a good job, send us a 5-star review there, because it helps get the word out, helps drive the population up. And you know, it lets us know that we're doing something right and you're connecting with us. And if you don't like what we're doing, send all complaints and concerns
Calvin.
To Calvin at civicredia.com/intern/org.
It's really easy to email.
Yeah, totally.
Calvin, so
yeah, I'll repeat that later. I'll repeat it later.
We wanted to highlight this. I just think this is so wonderful. And we talked to John Dietrich from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel a couple times. I want to say at the beginning of the year, Greg Bach.
Yeah.
And he did two very comprehensive stories about gun deaths in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And he was talking to a lot of family members. And what he discovered was the shocking number of suicides that are done with a gun.
Yes.
And in this series that he did, he was talking to gun owners about this issue and getting gun owners to talk about this. And that has actually led to some changes, which are positive changes, including having gun dealers, gun stores now are a place where if people are having a mental health crisis, they can take their weapons there. They will store them for you to keep them out of your way until you're feeling better.
Yeah.
Which is only good.
Yes.
This is only good.
Yes. One of the other things we spoke about was, I believe if I'm not mistaken, it was military, like especially military friends, they will hold on to each other's firearms. They'll do the same thing as the gun shops, but they'll do it for their friends who are in the military. And you can do that for your friends too. If you feel like you can do that, and you're qualified to have one.
Yeah.
But, it was an eye-opening discussion from John. It was very, very powerful. And the numbers, the statistics are, they blew me away.
It's a tragedy. It's an ongoing tragedy.
Can you be blown away but not surprised? Like, it was both, honestly.
So tonight at the UW Center for Civic Engagement in Wausau, the doors open tonight at 6 o'clock. The program begins at 6:30. It's absolutely free. And it's called At the Intersection of Firearms and Mental Health.
Yeah.
So just to kind of continue the discussion, they're going to serve refreshments. They're going to live stream it.
Oh, fantastic.
So if you can't make it up to Wausau tonight, you can still watch the live stream on the Journal Sentinel's website.
I will put that live stream link
in our show notes.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to, he interviewed a number of people around the state, and they are going to be featured on this panel discussion tonight.
Yeah.
One of them spearheaded a program to educate himself and others on the signs of suicide and then to take in guns for people who wanted them out of their house for any reason.
Yeah.
It's so important. It's so important to have these hard discussions. It is.
It's important to come to these discussions with your biases down too, because it's easy to walk in, especially one that's divisive as guns, and then you throw mental health into it. It's easy to come into it with you're planted your flag in the ground. You're not going to move. We have to come together on this and find these common sense solutions. This isn't an extreme argument against the Second Amendment. It's not a political thing that no one's getting on a pulpit and trying to get you to elect them. This is a discussion about lives. It's a discussion about mental health. It's a discussion about your friends, because whether or not your friends are on the dais or whether they're in the room, this affects your friends because you know somebody who's going through something.
Yep.
And if we can find those solutions, we can implement them, and we need to listen to individuals like this speak. So the article as well as which should have the link in there. If not, I'll find it. It will be in the show notes. 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. tonight. In Wausau if you're there, or live stream if you're not. So
again, one of the people who is going to be speaking tonight, Chuck Lovelace, the owner of Essential Shooting Supplies in Park Falls. Again, he's the one who took in guns from folks who wanted them out of their house. And that has now spread. There are nearly 44 gun stores across Wisconsin that are part of this effort where you can safely take your weapons if you need to get them out of the house, if you are not feeling well, if someone you love, your husband, your spouse, whoever is having a crisis, you can get them out safely. And they're not going to judge you.
No. They want you to contact them.
Yes. They want you to take advantage of this. It's so important.
Yes. I'd be remiss if I didn't say also, if you need someone to talk to, you can go just pick up your phone and hit, I believe.
It's 988.
Yes, 988. Sorry, I always get mixed. Hit 988. You can talk to somebody. You can also go to NAMI. NAMI is can get you free healthcare. Or not free healthcare. I'm sorry.
Counseling.
Counseling. They can help you talk about it too. So there are resources out there. If you're feeling it, there are resources out there. I'll also link those as well. So, please talk to somebody if you need it.
And again, if you can, it's tonight at the intersection of firearms and mental health. It's going to be at the UW Center for Civic Engagement in Wausau. The doors open at 6. The program starts at 6:30. It's absolutely free, and it's also going to be live streamed on the Journal Sentinel website. And we're going to reach out to John Dietrich and have him back so he can do a little recap and let us know how tonight's event goes.
Absolutely.
All right. News is on the way next. And then when we return, it's a special More Words from Men segment.
Back!
Haven't done that in a while. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.